The time now is coming up to 23 minutes to the hour. We're going to talk careers in the company of Sabina Trench now. Sabina Trench, good evening to you.
Good evening, Aidan.
And thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme this evening. And apologies for having you hanging on the line, as it were, for a little longer than might usually be the case.
Not at all. That was a very interesting interview, actually. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you very much indeed. This evening we have an email from TC. Hi, Sabina. I've the most of my CV completed, but I'm not sure what to include in the hobbies and interest section. Do I just make something up? That's from, thanks, from TC.
Right, okay. Should I just make something up? Well, I'd hope, I suppose, that TC, if he or she thinks about it a little bit more, that they might have more hobbies and interests and things to put in that section that they might first realise. I suppose the question for a lot of people, first of all, is do I include it or don't I? And in the main, we do include it in Slíonadh Careers on all CVs, unless a client would prefer to leave it out or we're getting particularly stuck for space. Because for a lot of people and a lot of recruiters, they're looking at CVs, and while you know, the qualifications, job experience and all of that is very important, sometimes it's hard to separate between maybe a couple of candidates, and something like the more sort of, I suppose, personality-led items that you include under the hobbies and interests section might just set you apart from another candidate that's there or thereabouts with you in the running for the job.
And Sabina, how or what level of importance would employers place on the hobbies and interests and pastimes of candidates?
It definitely varies. I think we'd say that for sure. But in saying that, if you can tie in your hobbies and interests somewhere in some shape or form with the job that you're applying for, well, then all the better. And, you know, I suppose obviously it will be of more interest to the employer. For example, if you are particularly interested in, I don't know, cooking, and you're going for some kind of a hospitality type of a job, well, you know, I can see a link there, you know, fairly quickly. Or maybe, you know, maybe you are in the cooking side of the industry, but you're particularly interested in artisan foods and, you know, new exciting producers or something like that, and you make an effort to go out and visit them. So that would be something that you wouldn't really be able to include in your, you know, in the body of your CV, but somewhere there in the interests and hobbies section you certainly could. Also, I would say it does depend too on maybe the stage of your career. So if, for example, you're a new graduate going into the market, you might, you know, you're going to be pretty light on experience. So you do need to kind of back up your CV with a few more, I suppose, a few more bits of richer information. It might be something now like you participated in the Young Scientist. Maybe you're after graduating with a science degree, and, you know, there might be some kind of college or graduate placements in there, and they might see that as being something of them, you know, a go-getter that's very interested, and it was an extra activity. But we'll say if you're, you know, if it was 18 or 20 years ago since you went to the Young Scientist, it might be time to drop that off.
Indeed, indeed. But in terms of, as TC says, do I just make something up? Probably not. Not very advisable, I would think.
No, definitely not. And I suppose if TC is finding it difficult, I would rather leave it out than have an awkward situation in an interview. Because sometimes it can, like, and this can be a good thing, it can offer, you know, the interviewer, you know, the option of a couple of questions. But if you do write things in there, like, you know, I'm a voracious reader and I love attending theatre, be prepared for what's the book, you know, that changed your life, or, you know, when, what was the last play you were at, and how did it, you know, did you enjoy it, or did, you know, how did it affect you or something. So, you know, if you are putting in things, I did talk to somebody, I had a client this week, and, you know, she was talking about traveling, And I was kind of saying, well, we need to be a bit more specific, because that could be Santa Ponsa for the last 5 years.
Sure.
And there mightn't be a whole pile to say about that if you were asked, oh, and, you know, where's the most interesting or exotic place you've been in the last few years? You know, the Costa del Sol isn't going to be a particularly interesting answer. But if you've travelled, we'll say, through, I don't know, the mountains. I don't know if there are mountains in Morocco, but...
Indeed, there are.
I don't know if that part of the world at all. So, you know, and if you've done that kind of thing, that could be very interesting just to somebody across the table. And again, if you were maybe going into something, just the hospitality industry is in my mind at the minute, you know, it is good that if you are going to be selling, we'll say, the west of Ireland to, you know, visitors from America, that you're used and know what they're expected, what they expect and the standards that they expect in other countries around the world and what other people are doing.
Well, can I tell you a story against myself, Sabina?
When I was
going through the competition process for RTE, and I arrived at the first interview stage. And I had worked previously during summer holidays when I was at college in a restaurant in the French Alps, in a hotel in the French Alps.
And I,
you know, I saw myself as being, you know, a two Michelin chef at that stage. What I didn't appreciate, however, is that one of the interview panel, who subsequently became my line manager, a lady called Lorna Madigan, was herself a superb cook. In the true sense of the word, and she certainly made it abundantly clear that my knowledge of cooking did not extend to two Michelin stars, or even one Michelin star, or even anything close to a Michelin star. Now, nonetheless, I was called to the next stage of the competition process, but you can land yourself in it, there's no question about it.
You sure can, but at the same time, you did, you know, there was an opportunity there for a little bit of common ground, but maybe it was bigged up a bit too much or something. But
the only common ground really was that I was able to do bacon and egg, and so was she, but beyond that, I'm afraid. No,
yeah.
Absolutely not.
So that's it. Yeah, leave it out if it's going to land you in deep trouble.
Yes, sure. Because sooner or later, I mean, I was fortunate enough, but that could bring another candidate to a grinding halt.
Oh, absolutely. And particularly in that situation that I said earlier, where it's very close between two.
Of course,
that's
indeed, indeed.
The difference between you in or you out, for sure.
You know that one candidate is capable of these wonderful flights of fancy and the other is perhaps more grounded.
Possibly.
Sabina, we have to leave it there. Look, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme this evening, as always, and we'll talk to you again around this time next Wednesday.
Lovely. Thank you, Adrian.
Sabina Trench, thank you very much indeed.